Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are searching their respective homes for whatever clues were left by Sally. Adrian was unsure whether his house was his home until Red cheered him up. Red found occult mirrors that wouldn't show her reflection. And Richter received a panicked call from Reinheimer, who was losing a battle with something occult. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Richter, you've just heard the sounds of a scuffle and what seems like injury or something come through the phone from a voice you recognize as Reinheimer's. He mentioned a long time ago which motel he was staying at, so you do have that address with you, kind of in your proverbial character Rolodex. But it sounds like he's in dire trouble, which is strange given the amount of ability he has shown to this point, and somewhat concerning. What do you do?
The phone is in the kitchen. And beside the phone is like a notepad just for like writing stuff down. So I write Reinheimer in danger at motel. I write the address and I write, I'm going. And I grab the note and I grab like a tack and I run out the front door and I stick the note on the front door and I'm off.
Okay, amazing. We'll say it's at the Glenhurst Motel.
Okay, Glenhurst. I didn't Do you change, say or is this... I was about to say I didn't say that I changed, so it's canon that I'm in my robe and slippers.
Okay, great. I was also just going to clock that and bring it up later. Glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you still covered in blood?
No.
He got rid of the blood-soaked clothes. Oh, okay, his comfy robe.
Do you have your shotgun or Benny's hand, or is this just Richter in a robe?
I have my shotgun. But I wouldn't have dumped Benny in the bathtub with my shitty clothes. I would have taken him out. So I think he's in my robe.
I feel like in the same way during the pandemic, I just like shift between several different pairs of sweatpants. And every time I do, I just move my keys and wallet to the next pair of sweatpants. I feel like it's just second nature at this point. Like, oh, I'm changing clothes. But, like Benny's hand just comes with it as you're like, pulling a shirt on. Benny's hand goes in the pocket. Yeah.
So the complete ensemble is like that undershirt, like that tank top. That was like kind of the style. Like you'd always have an undershirt on, right? The like striped like boxer shorts, slippers, and a robe that is kind of like loosely fluttering in the wind as I like pump my arms and run.
Gives you a geriatric Batman vibe as you you book it across town.
Yeah.
okay, great.
I feel like you're one wrong roll away from going back to that psychiatric asylum.
I'm trying to play it like I'm losing my mind. I don't have a lot of sanity left.
Yeah, man, you're not wrong. The good news is the motel isn't far from your home. You can sort of see it in the distance, and you continue at a full sprint. I kind of imagine you running the way. Forget his name, but he's the new Muppet that they made for like the Jason Segel Muppet film, who's like the main character guy. And just there's a scene where he just runs and it's just like all head and arms. I'm imagining it's that, but like much more Jack Skellington, as you just kind of like
I'm sprint. Surprisingly athletic. Like I have the athleticism of the Six Flags old guy. Like I can move if I need to.
Yeah, you know, if the Venga bus was coming and you wanted a seat, you would like, you'd make
it. You hear me before you see me. Just brrr.
Yeah, fair enough. Richter likes to party.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so it's just you running, kind of making that sound, but it's less like a horn and more just you trying to breathe as you run. Great. So you see the motel in the distance.
Can I ask, I see evidence of a ray gun being fired from this far away?
I was literally about to say, as you're running, you see an arc of blue energy sort of burst through the wall of the second floor of the motel into the cloudy sky overhead, briefly lighting up the sky like a bolt of thunder before dissipating. Given what happened last time you saw one of these guns go off, not the best. Red, can you roll me a stealth check? You and Adrian are moving up to the upper floor of the Diesel estate. The mirrors have been smashed. You're holding a shard out in front of you, and you are in search of your gift.
That's a fail.
Fail?
Yeah.
You wince as one of the steps creaks. You remember it from your days as a mystery puncher. I think we've established you guys didn't visit Adrian too often. Like he had kind of the Ambrosia Institute and like some other stuff that just you, I don't know. I feel like Adrian's a kid you hang out with when he's out and about, but you wouldn't spend a lot of time like in his room. But you do remember this creaky stair. And as your foot hits it, you just wince a little bit and freeze. You hear nothing jumps out and is like, ha ha, you stepped on my step. But it's just one of those things that like as a seasoned like break and entry person. It's just a fucking like professional slight.
Yeah, this is just like whatever stealth we had is just like, well, if they know we're here, they know we're here now. Like,
yeah, yeah, gotcha. You also smell on the air. There's just something kind of tickling your nose a little bit. We described earlier how Richter's house still kind of felt very stale. And there's something fresh, but also musky kind of on the air. You can't quite tell what it is, but you've only started to smell it as you reach this floor.
Does it smell like blood?
It does not.
Okay. Then she's going to continue.
Excellent. Adrian, same story, one step down.
Yeah, I think he's starting to get concerned because Sprinkles hasn't come to say hi yet. So his level of anxiety worrying about his cat is just slowly ramping up. I don't think it would be visible in his behavior yet, but it could lead him to make a bad decision in future.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair choice. all right. So with that, you reach the top of the stairs, and we'd established, I believe, Ryan, that Addy wouldn't sleep in his parents' bedroom because it's his parents' bedroom. He'd stay in his bedroom. The door to the master bedroom is ajar. And Red, as you reach the top of the stairs, your foot squishes on the carpet. You look down to see that the carpet is darkened. It is wet.
All right.
Addy will reach down and touch the carpet and then look at his hand.
You don't see anything on your hand.
Then he'll smell his hand.
Oh man, that's a bad smell. Can you roll me an int, please? I'm going to give you advantage on this, Ryan. So reroll your worst dice.
Came up the same number, so that really determines itself. Tom, I will spend 2 luck to get an extreme success.
Damn, man. All right. You know this fucking smell. You never forgot this smell. You've been trying to go investigate this fucking smell for days. This smells like your arch nemesis, the fish woman.
It's the fish lady.
God. And he looks at Red, he points at the door, and he's got his knife, and he's like,
She's gonna give him one of those, like, okay, Adrian, nods, and she will, but she'll go to the door for sure.
Sure. So the two of you begin to make your way down the hall. Your feet are squinging as you do. The carpet is soaked. And Red, now that he has pointed out the fishliness of it, particularly coming from living in Boston for a while, like, you know the smell of fish. This is definitely a fishy smell. It's the same smell you guys remember from your Deep One encounters earlier. So you make your way down the hall towards the master bedroom. Richter, you arrive at the Glenhurst Motel again, sounds of a struggle upstairs. You can see there are several holes that have been punched through the side of the building by laser fire, it would seem. There's sort of that singed, sort of cauterized look to them. As is the way with kind of a lot of things in like Sunnydale and in Buffy, like people are aware some shit's going down, but also so much shit has gone down lately that like people have clearly fled the motel. There's no staff at the front desk. Yeah, you can see that it's one of the rooms on the second floor seems to be where this has gone down. What do you do?
I start going up the stairs, like those outside stairs kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. I start going up the stairs and I'm yelling, I'm shouting in German, Reinheimer, I'm here. Reinheimer, are you all right?
You just hear a voice yell back, in here, Mr. Richter.
Not Reinheimer's voice then.
He's yelling in German, so it is.
Oh, okay. All right. I was thrown by the lack of hair, Richter, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good. Okay.
Tom knows four words in German, and he translated them on the fly.
I go to the voice.
You approach the suite that clearly has like the window and some holes blown out. There's a light rain beginning to fall as you kind of approach, and you can see it's actually like dripping through a hole in the ceiling as well. You peer into the room, there's one flickering broken light bulb in a lamp on the floor. You can see blood all over the walls. There's a leg near the door. In the back corner of the room, kind of in this flickering light with a light rain beginning to fall on it, you see the massive hulking form of the King in Yellow. And it begins to lurch and move.
Which way does it move?
It's like kind of like bumping, like it's kind of twitching and undulating up. It's not like running towards you or anything. It seems to be like fixated on this corner.
I level the shotgun at it, and I call out again to Reinheimer.
He just goes, "Yeah, under here, Mr. Richter."
And where is the voice coming from?
After keeping your finger off the trigger, the King in Yellow moves with sudden speed as it's pushed up and off of the torn and shredded man beneath it. You can see that as it falls over, the entire kind of chest cavity is hollowed out and burnt. Clutching with a skeletal hand, a somewhat blackened and kind of like burnt and shredded. Think like in old-timey movies when you fire a musket and it would just burst. Like a gun that is clearly overheated. Didn't go nuclear, but clearly overheated. And what's left of Reinheimer, his guts are hanging out. There's a tentacle through his cheek that you can see sort of like that inky like goo shit on his teeth. Seems he bit it off.
He's hardcore.
As you look at it, you recognize that this is the same goo that you saw at the mayor's house on the windowsill. He looks up at you with his one remaining eye, the other, which is trailing down his cheek. He just says, "Mr. Richter, I'm so glad you picked up the phone." And in his other hand, you see the phone that he's kind of ripped off the wall. He just says, "There's not much time left to save your sister and the Reich. Please, you must listen. This has gone so terribly wrong."
I am listening, Reinheimer. What has happened to Ingrid?
It's not what has happened, Mr. Richter. It's what's going to happen in my time.
And then he, like, drops the phone and with trembling hands reaches out and kind of grabs your shirt and he says,
"You must go to her in my time. She will tell you what to do."
And he pulls you in closer and he just says,
"You must save Adolf Hitler."
Meanwhile, back in the Diesel estate,
I don't want that to be season two. The mystery puncher save Hitler.
Look, man, the Nazi is telling you to save Hitler. There's a lot of shit you can do to Hitler that isn't saving Hitler.
Yeah. Why do you think when he said save your sister and the Reich, I was like, how do I save my sister?
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to invite you to check out their flagship podcast, Dum Dums and Dragons. It's a show where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. It features Laura Elizabeth as the wizard Alan, Tyler Hewitt as the thief Quinny, and Ryan LaPlante as a cleric named Butthole. Through their first season, these heroes experience the minds of Phandelver, but starting in season 2, they step into a world of fully original adventures from the mind of DM Tom McGee. Follow them from the beginning of their quest through 5 more seasons and beyond. Check it out now. Dum Dums and Dragons.
Back in the mansion, you make your way down the hallway with the overwhelming smell of fish. And Red, you approach the door, which is ajar.
Okay.
Weird thing for a door to be. What's in this jar?
All right, I'll see myself out. If like you want to find out how the mystery punchers defeat Hitler, come find me on a different show where people don't make jar jokes about my doors.
She's just gonna tap the door open with her foot and just enter with mirror and gun outstretched.
Sure enough, you are greeted with a horrific tableau of the deep one that eluded Adrian, flayed and pinned against the wall in similar fashion. In the chest cavity, sort of squished partially against the wall, is a crudely made cake with some candles that have burnt down. And a $5 bill.
Well, this is so nice. And he'll just walk forwards and just stab his knife into the deep one's head. And then he'll take the $5 and be like, it must be my birthday. There's a gift of money and a gift of a dead fish woman
at
and
which
a
point
cake.
You hear a low chuckle. From a darkened corner of the room, and the red glow of a cigar, at which point a voice just smiling. You can hear the smile in his voice, just says, your birthday and my birthday. Good night, Red. The shoelaces die with you. And Donnie Splinter levels the glowing laser cannon at you.
Oh, man. Addy fucking football jumps. Just every fucking muscle in his body is going to throw him at Red in like a cover tackle, get her out the fucking door business.
Okay, amazing. So you full on like Secret Service leap at the laser.
Yes.
At the laser or at Red?
At Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Richter, you are holding the dying Reinheimer. And at this point, again, to be 100% clear, no interest in saving Hitler, but curious about what the fuck is going on.
I was like, who's Hitler? Like,
and Reinheimer, there's just that moment of like Sideshow Bob stepping on a rake where it's just like, he says,
listen, it was imperative that I come back and bring you to Ingrid in my time. Something terrible happens to our beloved leader. He made some alliances perhaps he should not have, and while they helped turn the tide of one war, they have caused another in my time. And now the Reich is poised to fall, and our beloved worldwide empire is poised to collapse. The new millennium was not what we hoped. And if you want to save those still alive, then, including your sister, you must travel there. Help her and help undo this terrible crime. Please. And he hands you a small, it seems to be a small circular device that we of sci-fi fandom would absolutely identify as like a communicator beacon, but that you just see as a weird little piece of metal. And he says, this will translocate you to your sister in my time. In 1 week's time, she will give you further instructions. Please, you must stop.
And then he falls over dead.
I'll take the disc. Is there anything on him that survived the altercation with, if I go through his...
So he's pretty fried.
Yeah, the gun, I figured.
The gun burnt up most of the side of his body. He's got like a Harvey Dent thing going from Dark Knight. You don't find much. Searching the room, I think being fairly certain at this point that he's a time-traveling motherfucker, like, you find the typical things that you would assume someone who doesn't really have any understanding of the time they're in would buy. So, like, there's just a lot of, like, there's, like, several toothbrushes. He's clearly very confused about, like, what their purpose is. And like, there's clearly something better he's used to, and he's bummed about it. But there's not, like, a dossier or anything. You do find surveillance images of the store, of you, of Donnie Splinter, of Montgomery Greaves, of the mobsters. Like, he clearly had his finger on the pulse. Unfortunately, there are no notes. That you can find. There is, however, a strange black square that seems to have a shiny glass of some sort and a metallic back.
I'll take all of that.
Sure.
And then I will head out the front, assuming that the phone that he called me on is no good at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you could use the front desk. Again, the everyone...
Yeah, I was just going to, like, go, like, next door to, like, just look for a motel room that has, like, the door hanging open because somebody just took off.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to go into one of the rooms, grab a phone. I want to call Addie's house, the Diesel residence.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. So,
I mean, I, as a player, know what you guys are dealing with right now, but I feel like it's just true to Richard to be like, I should give them a call.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Totally makes sense. Great. Okay, so... Ryan, I don't really know that you can roll a dodge check if you're trying to, like, bodyguard her to the floor. I guess we could get you to roll...
I guess strength for the tackle? Like, it's more related to getting Red out of the way than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm struggling with is I actually don't know if you need to roll anything. If your goal is not to get hit, then it doesn't really make sense that you're rolling anything. Because also, like... Red's completely blindsided, so I feel like you could just plow, like, you're basically just a battering ram at this point, right?
What if, in exchange for the roll, because I do think there should be a cost for everything, I've got one luck, so that's not really much of an offer to be like, I'll give you my one luck.
Well, sure, no, I'll take it. I was actually...
No, but I was going to say, what if I give you half my sanity? Because I think the thought of losing Red would be sanity shattering.
Sure. I mean, we could do that. I was also just going to give it to you as a free action.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
So I'll take your 1 point of luck. I'm like a lawyer who's like, you need to pay me a dollar so that we're a partner. Yeah. But no, I just, it's one of those checks again that, like, as we've been playing this, I don't feel like you should throw dice when dice aren't needed. And I think if your goal is to knock Red, who would probably crumple if you did this because you've done it before, I don't know that you need to roll for it. If you're willing to accept consequence, because he basically is going to get just a free shot at you.
Addie never cares about consequences. Addie cares about Red.
Fair enough. All right. So while I look up this guy's stats and roll some dice, describe to me how, like, what this visually looks like, please.
I think this is the rare moment of something truly acrobatic from a human body that is not meant to be acrobatic in any way. So I think rather than like a balletic leap, it's almost like he did half a wall run and then just sprung both legs off almost horizontally. And his arms swoop around in like a slow-mo to kind of take her out of the way with him.
Okay. All right. So sprint across, leap, knock her down. I rolled an extreme success. So he opens up. Buddy, you're going to take 16 points of damage.
But Tom, I have one luck. Fuck. Okay.
So
Tom, I have 8 health.
Yeah.
What does that do?
Well, yeah, because you can't spin. Oh shit. Okay. You leap forward and you wrap your arms around Red. And suddenly, you feel a jolt, and warmth. And I think you realize that it's always nice to get to hug someone on your birthday. And laying there with Red in your arms, a birthday cake nearby, you feel something small and fuzzy rub against the side of your face. And you see even sprinkles showed up. And honestly, you've had a bunch of birthdays, but Adrian, this might be the best one yet. And with that, you die. The phone begins to ring. Echoing throughout the Diesel Manor as Donnie Splinter begins to swear and just looks down at his laser cannon and he's like, goddamn one shot ice cream man, piece of shit. And he throws it to one side. He just cracks his knuckles and he says, well, fine. Guess we'll do this the old fashioned way. And he begins to stalk towards you, Red. You are holding the body of Adrian Diesel and the man responsible is approaching you. What do you do?
I believe the word is kill this motherfucker.
So your fingers wrap around the knife still clutched in Adrian's hand. You look up at Donnie Splinter. What do you do?
He doesn't have a weapon, right?
He's got fists.
He's got fists, right. I'm going to let him come to me.
He does.
Great. And the second that he's within, I'm going to let him, you know, like, if he has to clock me once in the face to get close enough for me to stab him, fine. But the second that he's within, like, reliable reach, you know, it has to be one of those just, like, this is a sure shot. I can't miss.
Gotcha.
I won't miss.
So he kicks Adrian's body aside, and he grabs you by the hair and just kind of, like, pulls you up. And he just gives you that like classic condescending douchebag smile. And he's like, a dame running a gang. What'll they think of next? And then he fucking clocks you in the face and shatters your nose.
She's going to spit out the blood that's now just running freely down her face. And just says, I wish I had a shoelace to wrap around your sad, pathetic neck, but this will have to do. And she's just going to stab him right in the heart.
All right. Give me a strength check, my friend. Oh, very, no. Very important strength check.
Oh, no.
That's great. That's good, right?
That facial expression does not bode well.
It's a 95. I can't even spend the requisite amount of luck to bring it down to what I need it to be.
Look on the bright side, a fumble's a 96.
So yeah, not the absolute worst. Ryan, this is the dagger from the Corbett house, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Red, you jam the blade deep into Donnie Splinter. You can feel him grab your wrist as you try and do it, and you're trying to force it forward. But then you catch a glimpse of Sprinkles rubbing against Adrian, trying to get a reaction out of him. And the rage is overwhelming. So you jam the dagger as hard as you can at Donnie Splinter. And the minute it pierces his flesh, he disappears. You drop to the ground. Just maybe a quarter of an inch of blood on the tip of your dagger, knowing he must be somewhere, but also likely alive. And you hit the ground hard, blood dripping from your nose, pain spiking through your knees as you turn to see your friend and his loving cat, Sprinkles.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Fire Unfriendly, Logan, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
This is Yanni, and welcome to Season 2 of Harlem Queen. Thank you for listening. The season picks up with the search for Michelle.
You are listening to the Floyd J. Calvin program. And now, straight to the headlines. Manhattan debutante and socialite Michelle Mondesir has been kidnapped from her Connecticut boarding school. There is is a tri-state search for Mademoiselle Mendesir, who is 15 years of age, Caucasian, and was last seen yesterday evening going to her dormitory.
Stephanie is frantic, and she risks all in order to find her missing daughter.
We will find Michelle. There are troopers all along the New Jersey and Pennsylvania highways.
That's not enough.
Madame Stephanie St. Clair posted a $10,000 reward for information that leads to the safe return of Ms. Mondesir.
You need to take down your reward, Stephanie.
I will not. Those no-good couples are already saying she's dead.
The connection between the debutante and the numbers queen is unclear.
And Stephanie still has to contend with Luciano and Schultz plotting to push her out of her own turf.
Word on the street is that it's Schultz.
Who cares about a lost color girl?
This one is white. Fifth Avenue debutante, lot of money, well connected. And I want to find out why Stephanie is so fixated on the girl. Stephanie is highly invested in her safe return.
What do you need me to do?
I need you to cheese it.
What about St. Clair?
You tried to clip her twice. Is she pushing up daisies? No. We're gonna get her another way.
Even Halstein is suspicious. Is he truly a friend or a foe?
She's putting herself behind the eight ball. There's something more there, and I need to find out. In the meantime, someone has to earn the money she's deciding not to earn.
You have no power in this case, Stephanie. In fact, you're a liability.
I will do everything in my power to get her home safe and sound.
Listen up for season two. Harlem Queen is a recipient of the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council's Creative Engagement Grant. And once we all get through this safe and sound, we will have a live radio show of Harlem Queen this fall. More episodes to come. Take good care and stay well.